grace that is Christ's gift to us, the love of God, and the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
First reading is from 1 Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 34 responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times, for the praise of God shall ever be in my mouth.
I will glory in the Lord. Let the lowly
claim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together.
Look
upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. And the angel of the Lord encamped around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. A reading from Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give space, grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath, and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
I'm thinking a lot about comfort food. If I see that on a restaurant menu, I think it usually refers to maybe mac and cheese or mashed potatoes, something kind of bland colored and maybe even bland tasting. But really, comfort food is subjective. Different cultures, different tastes, different ages, even gender makes a difference in determining what is true comfort food. I looked on Wikipedia, this is true fact, because I read it on the internet, it's gotta be true. Wikipedia says that true comfort food for women is dessert kinds of things, chocolate, ice cream. For men, it's casseroles, meat, and soup. I don't know about that. For children in the United States, for teens especially, it's pizza. I think that's probably true. The prophet Elijah found comfort food in a little cake and a jar of water. Poor Elijah. He needed so much more than comfort food. He was depressed. He just wanted to crawl underneath that broom tree and die. But it wasn't always like that for Elijah. There was a time when he so clearly felt the presence of God in his life. In fact, just before this episode that we heard in our first reading today, Elijah had stood up to the prophets of the god Baal. And he had challenged them. It was like a duel of the gods. Okay, show me what you got, and I'll show you what I got. And, of course, Elijah won. Elijah and his God won. And then Elijah had all of those 150 prophets put to death. The people acclaimed Elijah and his God. The Lord is good, the Lord is good. Well, in spite of that great victory, the queen did not respect Elijah. In fact, what Jezebel said is, what you did to those prophets is what I'm going to do to you. And that's why Elijah was on the lam. Now even the people of the country were talking against him. And then nothing looked hopeful for him at all. He had fought so hard and lived such a faithful life, and what did he have to show for it? Didn't even feel like God was on his side anymore. So he put his tired body in the shade of the broom tree, and he was ready to curl up and die. But God never gives up on us quite as easily as we give up on ourselves or we give up on God. God came to Elijah under that broom tree. He sent an angel to bring comfort food. In Hebrew, the word angel means messenger. Sometimes that word is used to describe the presence of God. And sometimes that word is used, angel, to describe the messengers, the human beings who carry out God's will, who do for others what God would want done. Either way, angels are in our lives too. There are angels who are visible signs of God's love for us. You saw some of them earlier. Now they have little feathers to help us to remember that they are indeed angels. They are visible signs of God's love for us. There are other angels in our midst, visible signs of God's love for us. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat. I was going to, at this point in the sermon, talk about all of the wonderful food at the fair. You are what you eat. I mean, deep fried bacon. But then I thought, well, maybe there are people who really like that, and I wouldn't want to insult anyone. You are, it's true, we are what we eat. And we have eaten the comfort food of angels. And then we become angels for others, comfort for others. But here's the best news of all. We are invited to receive the living bread, the bread of life that is Jesus Christ. When we gather for a communion service, whether on Thursday night or Sunday morning, or maybe around a coffee table in someone's living room, or the bedside table in a hospital room, wherever we eat this comfort food, we receive the bread of life, the body of Christ, and we become what we've received. We become the body of Christ. This is true not because of what we do or what we have earned. This is not measured by our successes or failures. This is true not because of what we have done, but because of who we are. We are the children of God. The children of the God of abundant love and mercy who gives us true comfort food, food enough to strengthen us for our journey. Jesus said to his followers, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Is that the promise of comfort food or what? Never to hunger or thirst. When we reach out our hand to receive this bread of life, this ultimate comfort food, we hear these words, the body of Christ given for you. These words, body of Christ given for you, that's not just descriptive of what you are holding in your hand. It is also descriptive of you. You are the body of Christ given for others. When I teach new Christians about communion, I always urge them to build up the practice of saying amen in response to that invocation, body of Christ given for you. And again, blood of Christ shed for you. That word, amen, now here's a four-letter word that you can use anytime. Amen, or amen if you prefer. It's a Hebrew word, and it means so be it, or I agree. I agree. When we say amen at communion, we're making a faith statement that we are agreeing that this is our identity as well. This is the body of Christ given for you and for me. And this is the body of Christ given for the world. We are the body of Christ given for one another. There's a story, and I tried to, Wikipedia doesn't say anything about it. I tried to figure out exactly where this story came from, so it might be a legend. But Martin Luther was having a conversation with Zwingli, and they were talking about communion. And this is one of the places that other reformer, that the theology around the Eucharist was a very hot topic between these two theologians. And the story goes that they were having this conversation where they often met and had conversations in the bar. And they're sitting at the barroom table having this conversation about what exactly did Jesus mean when he said, I am the bread of life. This is, and at the Last Supper, when he said, this is my body given for you. This is my body. And the story goes that Luther picks up his beer mug and in the condensation on the table writes, I-S. And he says to Zwingli, what part of is don't you understand? This is the body of Christ. It is Jesus given for us. We are also the body of Christ given for one another. That's all we need to understand. It is. Maybe it doesn't sound like much comfort food. It's not very comfortable to hear that we are the body of Christ for the world. That's difficult. That's a hard calling, to be the body of Christ for the world. The writer of the letter to the Ephesians certainly knew that being Christ for one another was not easy. Being the body of Christ requires work. Listen again to those words. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Those last words probably sound pretty familiar to you as we've heard them Sunday after Sunday in our prayer of confession and forgiveness at the beginning of each service. But we probably need to hear those words more than once a week. This is a difficult calling, but there's comfort here too. God gives us angels to assist us. God gives us food to nourish and comfort us. St. Paul said, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love. Martin Luther, in the Small Catechism, reminds his readers to be little Christs for one another. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So this indeed is the best comfort food of all, for all tastes and cultures, for all ages and genders, for all the children of God. This comfort food, this bread of life, this body of Christ, and this body of Christ. The world. Amen.